All right. Fantastic. Here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio online. Thank you so much, BBS, for making this possible for us. It's a blessing to be heard worldwide to those who want to listen. I welcome all those who are here through BBS. We have tonight's show, as usual, as a simulcast with a conference call. We have the phone lines wide open. A bunch of people are here. Every time you hear a ding, there's somebody else joining in, and we just had somebody else join in. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Percy, North Carolina.
Good evening, Percy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for being here, man. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Carola in Okotoks, Alberta.
Hello. Welcome to the call, Carola.
Hi.
Hi, Carola.
Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cleo from Connecticut.
Good evening, Cleo. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. All right. It's 5:57, still 3 minutes before the hour. Still waiting for Wynn and Terry Brown to show up. We have, as a special guest tonight, Uncle Terry, Dr. Friedman, with us. He's here already on the line, so that is just fantastic. And I know that tonight's call will be an open mic, so people here on the phone line will have a chance to ask questions or discuss anything. See how that goes. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn, Pittsburgh.
Hello, Marilyn, Pittsburgh. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Meow.
Meow. Meow, meow.
All right.
Say hello to everybody.
Now, if you are on BBS Radio right now online and you do have something you want to share tonight, since we have an open mic, there is a special phone number you can call, calling into BBS Radio, and then they can put you through to come live onto the show. And let me give you that phone number. I actually have two phone numbers over here. The first one, 888-529-5471. And the second phone number is 888-627-6008. I will repeat this one more time. I first want to welcome the caller who just came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Steve in West Palm Beach.
All right. I hear two people at the same time, and I recognize Steve from West Palm Beach, and I believe also to have heard Don.
Yep, Don, Northern Ohio. Hi,
Don, and hi, Steve. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Hello, Terry Brown.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. And guess what? You are not the first Terry who's here.
Oh, is Uncle Terry here?
Uncle Terry is present, yes.
All right.
Hi, Uncle Terry.
Hi.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Cindy in Peoria.
Hi, Cindy. Good evening.
Hi. Thank you.
All right. I want to give one more time those phone numbers to call into BBS. 888-529-5471. And the other phone number is 888-627-6008. All right, and it's 6 o'clock. We're still waiting for Wynn to join in. I welcome all those on BBS Radio. Here we have another person coming in at the phone line. I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's only Sedona Jim here.
The big Sedona Jim. Welcome to the call, Jim.
Well, thank you, Big Heist.
Yeah. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Steve West Palm Beach. I just lost the connection.
Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Dean in Oklahoma City.
Hello, Dean. How are you doing?
Howdy. Hi. How are you all doing?
Great, man. Thank you for being here, man.
I'm getting some directory information on the line. This is Anna from Kent.
All right. On which line? On this line over here?
Hey, this is Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
Let me get my Bluetooth off
with. Right there. All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, Nancy here.
Nancy?
Yep, in Michigan.
Nancy from Michigan. Welcome to the call, Nancy. All right. That lady who spoke up hearing information on the phone line, are you still here? I guess not. Bill, go ahead. The lines.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. So I welcome the person who just joined in. Thank you for being here. It is 6:02. We have some interesting people here tonight. One of them is Winfrey, and Terry Brown, and Uncle Terry, Dr. Friedman. I will turn off entry and exit signs. Thank you. Welcome to the call. The lines are muted. There was too much noise going on.
Hello?
All right. So the entry and exit signs are off. Guten Abend, Edna. I can see you in the back of the room. Thank you for joining in. And Wynn, are you still playing with your Bluetooth? I can't hear you in case you wonder. All right. Terry, are you here, Terry Brown?
I'm
can't
here.
Hear you either.
I'm here.
Okay, good, good, good. Glad to hear that.
I was muted.
All right, all right. Now, let's see. I think Susan Rush, she called in. Yes. Okay, Susan, you can... No, you did not.
I didn't sign in as a moderator. Did you want me to call
okay.
back as a moderator?
No, you're good. You're good. I just want to have your line open. Thank you so much. Okay. Dr. Friedman, are you present with us?
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you so much. So we're only waiting for Wynn to join in still. He's playing around with his Bluetooth.
I'm here.
All right. You sound good, Wynn.
All right. Is Terry Brown here?
Yes.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
And is Terry Friedman here?
Yeah. I'm here.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Okay. Let's get started. Hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 9th, 2014, and Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and all of you everywhere else, Terry Friedman in Phoenix, Hayes in Magalia, and we're going to do an open mic tonight, and on an open mic, you guys can share stuff, and let's do a little sharing. If anyone speaks up, and then we'll open up for questions. And this Terry Friedman, Uncle Terry, stays open to it, feels well enough. He may be available to answer a few questions. I know some of you have emailed me questions and say, would you ask this to Terry? And if I think the question is inappropriate, I'm just going to pass on it. And but, you know, great resource to hear Terry's, what it seems to be, an eyewitness memory of walking around with Jesus. Okay? So, on that note, let me unmute everybody. We'll see how noisy we all are.
All callers are unmuted.
Hey. Well, Roy, this line is quiet. What's going on?
I have something
on?
To share. I mean, to
now, who is
share
that?
In the spirit. Anna from Kent.
Anna? Okay, Anna. That's not Anna Christensen, is it?
No.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Anna.
In reference, you've often been talking about the duality of good and bad and positive and negative. And
yeah.
I think that we could get beyond that, because that's like second world. I mean, third. I mean, that duality.
Is lower world stuff, right?
Third. Yes, and it's like round world, flat world difference, and that either or
yeah.
being sort of flat world.
Yeah.
And if we thought of negative as feminine energy, magnetic energy, and have the positive mean electric masculine energy, we could get, I think, start thinking and making the shift and not thinking in either or.
Uh-huh.
And everything good or bad. Because in terms of the law of one, all is one.
But you know what? Here is I'll just answer. I won't answer that. I'll just tell you some
respond.
Some
yeah.
Thoughts of,
thank you.
Thoughts about that. I mean, stay on the line because give me your thoughts back.
Okay.
First of all, we have a broadband listenership, and people are placed all along the matrix at different places who are listening to us. And there's some people that are extremely, have done a lot of spiritual work on themselves. And there's other people that have done spiritual work in other lifetimes and that this work is triggering them. And there's other people that are still working out, things at lower levels of matrix. And those people have the potential to have a quantum leap. But if we don't do this broadband enough, then they get left out. You know, I've read so many things online and books and everything. You know, and some people say, well, we're going to 5D, we're going to 4D, we're going to 6D. You know what? You can know about 5D, but until your matrix expands into 5D, you're not going there. Your mind can't put you there. You can know about being outside of duality. You can read about that. I read about it years ago. But being outside of duality is, you can't just say, okay, I want to be outside of duality and I'll look at everything this way, and you go there. It takes an incredible amount of self-work to actually even understand what outside duality means. And so,
well, we're in three dimensions, how can we not be beyond duality?
Well, in three dimensions,
I mean in reality.
Our bodies are in three dimensions.
I mean, yeah, I mean our experience right now is three dimensional.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and so I think that automatically puts us beyond duality if we understand that.
Well, to me, 3D is actually in duality, and you have to expand outside of this.
To me, duality is like flat world, and we're supposed to be in round world. I mean, day we were told that now we're in round world. And when you look at it round, it looks a lot different than, either or and flat and two ends, and up and down.
Matt, first of all, you use negativity and negative in two different ways. One is, It's yin and yang, and female is yin, and it's negative, and masculine is positive and yang. So that's different than the positive and negative, you know, as far as, like, the evildoers and the good doers. So that's two different things that were mixed together.
I know, and that is what caused confusion, right?
If you want to say, don't behave this way, you need to behave that way, that's still the, you know, either-or duality attitude.
But if everything is energy, then there is the plus and the minus together, the negative and the negative magnetic feminine and the positive masculine. I mean, that's the nature of energy.
Not negative.
Not negative.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh, God.
Wait a second, Terry. I hear you in the background. Wait a second. We're going to mute everybody. Terry has a comment.
All callers are unmuted.
Hang on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. Hang on a second. There we go. Terry Friedman, are you there?
Yeah.
Do I hear you? Get the phone close to your mouth, okay? Because you're a little quiet. Do I hear you wanting to make a comment on this?
Yes. I said positive and negative are two aspects of third dimension. Or you could say yin and yang. Either one is really bad. They're both good. But I said let us not forget that all is of God. Both positive and negative is of God. But you have to remember that.
Okay. I agree with you. Great.
Okay.
You know, the key here is what works for you. What way of thinking helps you expand, be more aware, more loving? What way of doing that? You know, you could say the law of one is the highest truth, but not very many people can live in the law of one. They can move in and out of it, even though it's the highest truth. And maybe within the law of one is where beyond duality is. But as soon as you feel separated from someone, as soon as you get angry, and even I get angry sometimes, we all get angry, in that moment, we're feeling separated. And so somehow you have to have a way of understanding things to cover that. Because if you think you're supposed to be beyond duality, and then you have a moment where you feel separated from something, maybe you have a lot of moments where you feel separated and alienated, then you have to have a way to understand and be compassionate for yourself. Because if you set a high target, like, I want to be beyond duality. I want to be one with God. And there's nothing wrong with setting that as a target. You have to understand that when you're not there, not to judge yourself, not to say, I'm bad, I'm in duality, I'm selfish, I'm thinking a lustful thought, I'm this, I'm that, because the judging yourself by making that high standard is really a downhill spiral. So you need to have a way of understanding yourself that allows you to be in duality as well as outside of duality, because if you're in this realm, to me, you have to, by the nature of being in this realm, you're going to be going back and forth into all kinds of spaces, and that you have to mentally accept and understand that so you can flow with your process. Because once you start flowing with your process, that is the fastest way to move through your stuff, okay? That's my experience. It's like a teacher I had one time said, the first law of spirit is acceptance, which means moment to moment to moment to moment, you have to accept the circumstances and everything you're in the middle of. And then, you know, the next thing is once you accept it, to observe it. And then once you observe it, to think about it. And then think of what you could have done better. Or, you know, boy, I was really selfish then. That's okay. Or, you know, I was really angry. And okay, you accept that. And you keep moving through it. And the part of you that keeps observing and accepting is a thrust engine to move you outside of duality. Because now you're observing the parts of you that are in duality, and the part of you that's observing is above the parts that you're looking at. And so that's what I think. Let me, Terry Friedman, you want to say anything to that?
Yeah, I agree.
You agree? Okay, good. Let me unmute.
All callers are unmuted.
Can I say one thing? This is Anna.
One more thing, and then, Anna, one more thing, and then we'll bring this to a close.
Thank you.
Topic, okay? Go ahead.
Oh, I can say. Okay, duality is separation.
Okay, what else do you want to say?
Well, okay, on that subject, but I believe that there was an Egyptian god that was called Ra, R-A.
Yeah.
In terms of
you know,
the name of the Ra group.
Yeah, if you start talking about the Ra group, that's a whole other discussion.
I know.
Which I happen to be fairly expert on. And let me give someone else a chance to make a contribution.
Certainly.
If you don't mind.
Thank you.
Okay. And thank you. And thank you for coming forth and breaking the ice and letting us jump all around it. Okay. And next, who would like to hear something?
I have a question.
Who is that?
This would be Robert in Glendora, California.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Wayne.
Glendora, one of my favorite places. Do they have that? Do they still have that little coffee shop downtown?
I think so.
With the outdoor patio.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your question, Robert? Go ahead.
I believe the first time I ever called in was about 3 months ago, and I felt that I had a question for the Elohim, and they had a response. And I've been working on that response where they talk about trying to open up my crown chakra. And I'd like to ask whoever has an opinion on it, what else I could do. I mean, I've been meditating and doing the typical things, but I haven't had that experience where they've actually communicated with me.
Okay, Robert, let's try something right now, and all of us can go with this, all right? Now, we're not communicating verbally with the Elohim, but I've gotten the idea that when we do these calls, they're watching us. This is for them, this is a very rare experience to be here. So let's just shut our eyes. Let me mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And let's ask the Elohim if they can touch Robert and anyone else that wants to be touched on this call. And let's just see if we can feel it. Here's what it feels like. Can you feel a band of energy around your temples and your third seventh chakra, your third eye? Okay, see if you can feel that first of all. And then take that energy that you're feeling there, move it to the top of your head. And we do this every Sunday. I don't know if you've been on our Sunday calls, but feel the energy move through the top of your head. And we create a very protected space here because we're moving our energy up into a hologram that is outside of your body, and you can't see what's going on. So we ask for lots of protection that only positive sources can access this energy, only sources that are working in the law of one, in the Christed energy. And see if you can feel that energy. And we ask the Elohim in particular to see if Robert can have an experience. I don't know if you will or not, but we'll ask for that. Okay. And let me open the mics again.
All callers are unmuted.
Now, Robert, did anything happen? Not really. Not really. You know what? You should submit the question on a Wednesday, okay? And see...
Wynn, can I say something?
No, just a moment.
Yes.
In a moment, let me say something.
Certainly.
Ask your question on a Wednesday and ask them, I would ask the question something like, do I have a block? Could you give me some understanding of any blocks in my system that are keeping me from accessing my crown chakra? And how
I feel
I
like that's
them?
True.
Yeah, and ask them, what can I do to overcome those blocks? Submit that question for a Wednesday. It's a good question for everybody, okay?
Well,
thank you. Okay. And was that Anna who wanted to say something?
No, Morgan.
Morgan. Oh, hi, Morgan. Okay.
Hi,
what did you want to say?
That I close my eyes, I turn my mute button on my TV, and I just breathe in and breathe out. And I felt the third eye, like, throbbing, and I just felt it. It didn't really do it, of course, but I felt it throb in and out about an inch from my head. And then you said, put it up through the top of your head, so I did. And I heard, right at that point, I heard a whole band of angels sing, and
okay.
I saw like a hand come down and touch, all lighted up, a hand touch the top of my head.
Okay. Now, you know, in my opinion, you're one of those people that are way up there in those realms, and yet you have more of a challenge of being grounded, I think, in this realm.
Totally.
Can you say that?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally,
so
everyone's
got their issue, right?
Yep.
And it's okay. Mm. If I was going to ask a question, you could say, how do I get more grounded, you know?
Wear a pendant.
Yeah, wear a pendant. Somebody says wear a pendant.
Yeah. Well,
you know, because when you have the high connections, without being grounded, it's very difficult to manifest and connect people up to your high connection. Follow what I'm saying?
Totally.
You know, so you end up having way more ability to be of service once you get that energy grounded. Okay, next question, our next comment. Could we comment? Any of you have an experience being on our calls of some kind that is strange or phenomenal or synchronistic?
What's the fastest way to get over rejection?
Who asked that one? If they want to say.
Wanda.
Wanda? Wanda? I'm not going to answer that question. You're not good enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm told this week. I'm not good enough this week.
Well, you know what? I went through a lot of rejection this life, feelings of rejection, causing people to reject me. And I had to get so crazy to find a group of people that liked me. Okay? So, you know, it's like one of the things that, from my experience, is not to take the rejection personally. Realize it doesn't have to do with you. And say, okay, I'm putting out a pattern into the hologram that is self-rejection. I'm rejecting myself. I bought into this implant, this thought form, that I'm not good enough. Okay? And, wait a second here.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I bought into the idea that I'm not good enough. And that's not really who you are. That's something that's been hypnotized into you. And how's it hypnotized? It can be hypnotized many ways. It could have been from your parents. Usually, they play a strong part. It can be from society, because society sets a standard of what being good enough is. You have to look a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. You have to have a college degree. And if you don't have those things, you keep thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. And one thing that I have told people before, I'll say it again, is do things that have to create value for other people. And I tell people, go to an old age home. Find people that really need support. Go to the hospital, people who are in bed. Find people who really need support and create value for them. And it's easy to create value for those people. And as you create value for another being, it starts to convert your unworthiness, because it's giving you a new message. Hey, I'm really important to that person. You know, do it as a regular thing, and it reprograms you. And then you start to get reprogrammed. You go into a situation where you might feel rejected, and all that value that you've created starts to override the rejection. That's one way. You know, when I was younger and feeling that, I used to go take my guitar and perform at retirement homes and convalescent homes, and people loved me. And I could always change my feelings of unworthiness by playing music, and it would always transform me. So that's one idea. Anyone have a story of how they have transformed themselves?
All callers are unmuted.
Someone who felt unworthy and fixed it.
So does this mean that I should take my Reiki Masters this weekend?
Your Reiki Master? You know what?
Yeah.
If having a degree makes you feel worthy, then go for it, you know? You know, Jim in our house is a PhD. And I'm not sure that PhD makes him feel worthy. Maybe it does, you know? I don't know. I can't tell you what you should or shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if you're drawn, you know, whatever you do, you can do it. If it doesn't work, you say, well, that's another one that didn't work. Next, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, having a lot of money. You know, the bottom line is there's a lot of things that the world will respond to make you worthy. But the real worthiness does not come from the world's response. It comes from God inside you and connecting to that and learning how to share real care and compassion Now, you still may not be acceptable in the world, but you'll be more acceptable to yourself, and you'll be acceptable to the people you make a difference for, and you'll learn how you make a difference. Let me see if Terry would like to share. Terry, you have any comments on all of this?
No.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right. Let's.
All callers are unmuted.
Terry Brown wants to make a comment.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Go ahead, Terry.
When I take Jim up to the retirement homes to play for them, he plays piano for them, and they all are really wrapped in the intention. They have their total attention on his playing. And then afterwards, they often come over and they say a few words to me. And I always feel better when I leave. I make a real connection with some of them. And it cheers up their whole week. And that makes me feel better, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I just mention that.
Yeah, and you know what? When you go there, I'm sure you help hold the energy to make his music be more. You're holding some of the Davidic frequencies that help his music be better. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
You know, it's like music is an energy that goes into a room. It's just like the work we're doing. It goes around. And all of you who are on these calls are learning to hold energy. And as you hold energy, you make the call better for other people. Some of you may not understand that's true, but I know that's true. It's like the religious science people know this idea as well. Because when they do a church service on Sunday, they have certain people that they have they have a name for it, those people. They go through a small training, and they're in the room with all the people in the service, and they're holding the energy of the light in where they are. So that makes the energy that comes into the room spread through the entire room because people are holding it. And when we do these calls, you guys are holding energy at different points in the world. And it's letting the energy of the call, this is what I think how it works. This is all an invisible realm, so these are my conclusions from observing it. I may be wrong, but the energy of the call goes through the planet, and that we're holding the space for that. And, you know, sometimes, speaking to Wanda again, you know, going to a place where you can, even if somebody else is the thrust, the positive yang force, bringing energy into a room, you can be the yin force holding the energy, and you can be of great service without doing anything. You don't have to talk. But that's an incredibly important aspect of bringing energy from higher realms into this realm. And let's see if let me unmute here.
All callers are unmuted.
Anyone else have a question?
I have one.
Who is that?
Star 6.
Dwayne, let me get my finger on the button just a second.
Well, don't worry about this one. This is for Dr. Freeman. Dr. Freeman, I have an experience that I wanted to run past you. I heal with books that are signed by the writers. How does that work?
How does that work? Well, I wanted to do that favor for the people on this show. So I feel that by putting my signature there, I give them personal energetic charge to that book. So that
right.
people in that group can feel that they're special.
Well, my question is this. Christ didn't sign any books because they weren't written, but now the book's written. It heals people. How does that work?
I'm sorry. I could not hear you.
Oh, I'll repeat it again. Christ did not have a book to pass around that was signed, but later, you know, 2,000 years later, there's a book, and that book heals people. I just want to know, how did the book heal people?
I still can't hear you. What was your last...
Let
me say...
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
I think he's saying, you know, how does a book heal people? Christ didn't sign the Bible, and he didn't have a book when he was doing his ministry, I don't think. Did Jesus have a book that he carried around with him, that he gave people to remember him, Terry?
No.
And so, I think I'd like to give I know you asked that to Terry Friedman, but let me give a stab at that. And then Terry can add his stab to it and see, should call it a stab, okay? A comment or my experience. Every action moves energy multidimensionally depending on the intent of your action. So when you take actions that engage high levels of dimensions, go back to source, and then you physicalize that action, i.e. you sign a book, you're bringing the hologram of the energy and intent into that signature. I know when I sign books, you know, Terry will have books stacked up on the table. Did you sign those books? Yes, did you sign those books? And I wait until I can give it my total concentration. I try to put the best energy in that signature as I can. And, you know, we did an interesting thing today that really relates to exactly what we're talking about. And that is we're doing a show in a couple of weeks in Denver, and we're doing a mailing to 300 stores that are coming to those shows. We're sending them postcard to introduce them to the pendants. And on the front of the postcard, in a very small print, I wrote, "We love you." And I have a little heart in between love and you, I think. And then I got the inspiration, I'm going to put a little check mark in the heart. And so I started going through the cards and putting check marks in the heart. And then Terry started helping, and she started putting check marks. And I thought that the check marks she was doing were not didn't have as high intention as the check marks I was doing. And so then I tested it, and I had her feel the cards. Now, this is just, you know, fooling around. This is, I'm not going to say we got it right. We didn't have a control group, but I had her not see the card and feel it. And I said, how does the energy feel on this card? And how does the energy feel on this card? And I let her compare my check mark and her check mark. And she didn't know which was which. And she kept picking the card for three times. She picked the card that I had checked. And then there was someone else in the room, and I said, I did the same thing with them. I didn't only did it one time. And you know, we could do it a lot because you could shuffle the cards. And he also picked my card. And it was interesting that Dwayne asked that question, because it's kind of like that was just an experiment we did today. And then Terry started working on how do you get more intention into the check mark. And you see, whatever you do, your intention carries you into the higher dimensions, the higher frequencies, if it's strong enough. And that's why such small things can make such a big difference. It's not the actual, well, it's the physical thing of what you do, because we have to make a postcard, we have to put it in a mail. And, you know, will this make more people look at our postcard? Will it make them feel a good vibe when they get the postcard in the mail? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. We haven't said it yet. We never did anything like that before. But when you send an email to someone, the same thing. It's like, it's not being smart and the words you say and being clever. It's the holographic energy that you hold behind it. And, you know, in the case of the Bible, in the words of Jesus, there is an incredible energy in the words Jesus said. And long ago, before I knew much about Jesus, I read the Bible, and I said to myself, I can feel the love in this. Just as you can go back and read a transcript of ours, and many people feel this loving energy in the transcript going in between the words. So this is a fairly common occurrence once you can tap into it. And Terry Friedman, you have any comments on that?
Yes, that's true. When Jesus was dictating the book to me, I acted as a channel. So as he dictated a loving word, they were transmitted, that energy was transmitted to me, and I in turn transmitted it into the book. So that the energy that comes with the book, it comes from him, not from me, it comes from him. And that's where people tell me, I can read a book, I can read the lines, I can read the words, and find an energy between each word, between each sentence. I find a special energy, and that comes from Christ. He was able to transmit the glorious energy of his words into me, and I simply transferred them onto the book. So it was all his doing.
You're talking about your book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus, right?
That's right. I'm saying he was able to transmit the energy to me, and I in turn transmitted it into the book.
Mm-hmm. In case you guys didn't realize, we just gave a commercial. Okay, that's a good reason to read that book. And it's true, because when I read it, I could feel the energy in the words. Okay?
Yeah.
And thank you.
It's coming from Jesus through me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that answer the question?
Dwayne?
All callers are unmuted.
Yes.
Dwayne, does that help? Does that help, Dwayne?
But I got a quickie question. First of all, really impressed with your 12th spiritual law. That particular law is really heavy in this book. I mean, that's the one that heals right there, as far as I'm concerned. And then also, just for you, man, I'm just curious. Why is it that Satona Jim gets all the women and I don't? Have a good evening. I love all of
it. It's because he's a PhD. do we have another comment or another question? Let me just say something to Dwayne. Dwayne, I think partially, I won't say he gets all the women, okay? He gets a lot of dates, and I think Jim, are you there? Hello, Jim. Good, I can talk about him behind his back. I think because he's staying in our house, it creates a certain energy around him that he feels more acceptable and he talks to people. You know, there's a lot that goes on with how you're grounded and how people are attracted to you. And when you're not grounded, it's very difficult to attract people in your direction. But, you know, that's why when you're looking for a job, it's like so hard to find one. When you have a job, other people are interested in you. When you're feeling lonely and you don't have a girlfriend or a partner, then everyone feels your loneliness. As soon as you have a girlfriend, we're talking about you. That's okay.
Was that my old buddy Dwayne?
Yes.
As soon as you have a girlfriend, you're very attractive because you're balanced. Another woman feel that, and they don't really. I wrote that song about that. Everybody loves you when everybody loves you, but nobody does when nobody does.
Your best song.
It's like, you know, it's a matter of building up your grounding slowly and surely, and that really helps other people approach you. Because when you're totally ungrounded, when you don't have any money, it's like people are afraid of getting close to you because they're afraid that you're going to need them. And people want to be loved, but they don't want to be needed, most people. They don't want to be codependent on. And so it's like the only thing that breaks that is if you're lucky enough to find someone that you knew in another lifetime, that you developed a really good relationship with, who will see through all the other stuff. And that's like a shortcut around it, okay? And I mean, I tell people, you know, Terry has been... I would probably be dead if it wasn't for Terry, okay? And we must have known each other some other lifetime. Or she says she remembers when we were out of this dimension and that I jumped in and I didn't come back. And we were good friends in the other realm. And then she decided to come in looking for me. And that was probably multi-millions of years ago. So when she found me, subconsciously, she said, "There he is." Okay. So all of us have people out there that in some lifetime or another, we've done something really good, and if we can find them or make ourselves available so they can find us, it's a much easier time than playing a bunch of games.
They're very easy to spot. They're the one carrying. They're the ones carrying the frying pan, looking for you.
I see, the frying pan, right?
Oh yeah,
and of course. In any case, let's see who else has a comment or a question or whatever. We have a few minutes left.
I have a question. I do.
Oh, now you guys are getting unshy. I got five of you at once. Okay. Who had a question?
I do.
Let's have a lady. Go ahead.
Okay. This takes a lot of courage to ask. Nobody panic. But this is a question for Dr. Friedman. What did Jesus say about suicide?
Good question.
Dr. Friedman, the question is, what were Jesus, his...
All callers are unmuted.
Suicide.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Dr. Friedman.
Wait a second. We don't hear you. I muted everybody, and Terry's not a moderator. So
yes, he is.
Here we go.
He's
under Susan Rush today.
Yes.
Susan, Terry, we hear you now. Go ahead. Yes. What about suicide?
I said, Yeshua never discussed that. That topic
never discussed
came
it.
Up. Why didn't it
yes.
Up? A lot of topics came up. That topic never came up. So I can't comment on that.
Now, I'll tell you one thing that I've heard about suicide, okay? And that is, there's no absolute right or wrong about suicide. It's an individual thing for each person. Now, some people, if they do commit suicide, they are going to hurt other people. And some people want to hurt other people by committing suicide. So those people are obviously creating a karmic thing through creating the hurt. Some people, they just have, their bodies can be in pain. They can, you know, they can be totally out, you know, they could be in a place where no one even knows they exist, and their suicide wouldn't hurt anybody, or the people around them would say it's okay that they went because they're gonna feel it was better for them. And in that case, I don't think there's any karma. But if there's any hurt, deep hurt, and also unfinished business with people in this realm, you lose the chance to finish the business. And
But I believe to remember from what the Elohim has taught us in the past is that although it's, you know, not right, not wrong, but that the person deciding to taking his own or her own life does have, in a timely manner, a setback.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take a whole track over again.
One
of the problems is they need extensive therapy. And that's done on the other side. They're isolated and kept in a sleep state for a while as long as necessary. Then they're given intense therapy sessions to bring them back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize
okay.
That there was other choices.
Thank you,
well,
Terry.
One thing that when I've gone through the channelings, I found that some people have asked about their brother or their brother-in-law or somebody that's committed suicide, and very often the person didn't know what they were getting into, and they were really sorry afterwards. They hadn't considered everything concerning it, and they lost the ability to communicate with people in the realm, and they lost connection, they lost the ability to complete things that they had wanted to complete, like working with their children, maybe. And quite a few of them have felt really sorry that they did it. And if they had known everything they were getting into, they wouldn't have done it.
You know, one comment I'll make about this.
They kept in a sleep state and that they received extensive therapy because there's regret in the individual.
One of the comments I'd like to make is that many people have said that there is more growth possible when you're in a body than when you're out of a body. And the reason I think that's true is because when you're out of the body, when you leave the body, you go to that part of the hologram that you are familiar with. And in many cases, you're kind of stuck there in a rigid way. And you can't move from that spot until you come back into a body. And then you can expand yourself. Now, I think if you're a very evolved being, this may not be as true, because you can leave your body and you may be able to go above where you get stuck and move around. But I'm not sure of this, okay? Maybe, you know, you could go back and be an Elohim if you came from there.